It's hard to explain how you make me feel. You see me. For someone whose aim in life is to slip by unseen, visibility is alarming. But my aversion to being seen is rooted in a fear of rejection, so being seen, really seen, and then being held anyway, is something inexplicable to me, and magical. Nuzzled into your shoulder while you gently patronize me, stroke my hair and tell me that I'm a silly, broken little thing. We both know I wouldn't be anywhere else. Amidst all the threats and dangers of the world, when you hold me, everything else recedes. The only violence I face is from you. You are more violent now than you were. You notice it too, I think, and seem to suggest that this is my effect on you. I inspire you to this. The work that I've done to sculpt my body in recent months to make it more appealing incites sadism along with lust. The two are really indistinguishable at this point. You talk casually about breaking my ribs. I don't know if you will decide to do it eventually. Obviously you could if you chose to. I don't know if I want you to. I don't really know what it is to want anymore. I have had broken ribs before. They took months to heal. It seems possible that one day you will, and that I will be still, holding my arms over my head to give you a clear space to strike. That you are so firmly in my head means that I don't have to be. You give me permission to be vacant, to be absent from myself. From time to time, we've described what we have as a vacation ship. Easy, relaxed companionship at a distance, punctuated by periods of intense closeness, in which I am entirely overwhelmed by you. Your belt tightening around my throat narrows my vision and makes my head swim. You are. You exist so solidly, so firmly, that I don't have to. When you hold me tightly and tell me that it's okay that I barely exist, that I am almost nothing, the relief is more than I can explain. When you kneel over my face, I really am conscious of being nothing but a hole for you. The force and pace with which you fuck my throat reduce me to a useful receptacle. So I suppose it isn't a surprise that you don't notice when you dislocate my jaw. Why would you? As long as I continue to be a warm, wet vessel for your cock, it really doesn't matter what else happens to me. Not that I could stop you, anyway, with your knees holding my shoulders down. I work through a cycle of fear and panic that I can't breathe, that I will choke on all the saliva being forced from my throat, pain from my jaw, desperate, increasingly ineffectual attempts at acceptance. I can't take this. I am not coping. I would give anything for you to stop, but there is literally nothing I can do. When you pull out of my mouth and begin to beat me, through the new, sharp pain of your fists glancing against my ribcage and thighs, I feel a flood of relief. It is still some time before I can move enough to relocate my jaw. As I do, you reach for a marker pen. This is the first time you've written on me. Of course, you don't write anything generic. You only write things that are true. Absolutely, specifically true. Just underneath my tits. A good location, you tell me, because it underlines the point. You write, "Poor quality feminist," with an asterisk. When I frown, you explain, "Poor quality," rather than anything as significant as bad, because it's not that I'm actively trying not to be a good feminist, but, well. You laugh as you add a footnote with my own feeble defense that it's actually much more complicated than that below. It isn't, of course. There are few things that show just how simple it is as this moment of you writing these words on my body. I can't help but pout when you write "boring" between my hip bones with an arrow to my cunt. I'm only a little mollified when you laugh and tell me it's not personal. All cunts are boring, you tell me. Knowing you as I do understand what you mean, but even so, not all cunts have such explicit attention drawn to how boring they are. Other people don't find my cunt boring, I want to tell you. Other people tell me it's hot and tight and wet and delicious. But other people don't destroy me the way you do. You make me beg you to fuck my ass. The twisted perversity of it only really comes to my mind later, when I can think again. Your love of feeling the gripping tightness around your cock, met entirely equally by my hatred of the pain. You tell me that this is what I am made for. That I don't have to beg you to use me like this, but if I don't, then I really am making myself entirely useless, rather than just mostly. Why would I have a body shaped the way I do, if it wasn't for it to be sodomized? When I do, finally, manage, against myself, to stammer out the words, your laughter stings almost as much. Each time I sob, tensing my muscles, I hear you moan in pleasure. Later on, standing in the shower, washing off the sweat and lube and cum and ink, I poke at my bruises and allow my mind to be lost in the memories, so that all I am is a body, a doll that hurts and loves you. It really isn't complicated at all.